Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with Ed Alexander. Ed on the other side of the glass, making sure we sound perfectly fine for you on this Friday, November the 21st, 2014. Hope you are having a great day and looking forward to a wonderful weekend. We are live broadcasting from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and we live stream our show and have podcasts available for you, so you can listen to the program on your schedule anytime, anywhere at buckmastershow.com. That's my website, and we live stream at kvoi.com as well. On Fridays, a big media shout-out. We do our media partner shout-out to TucsonSentinel.com. Thank you to them. Inside Tucson Business, Green Valley News, and Sahorita Sun, big supporters of our work. And our newest media partner, Tucson Lifestyle Magazine. Thank you to those folks and TucsonLifestyle.com. Our Friday Focus interview this afternoon, Dr. Margaret Kensky, longtime Southern Arizona pollster and political analyst. Dr. Kensky is on the Buckmaster Show live line and with me in studio to question Dr. Kensky. David Coulier is with us. He is the director of the School of Journalism at the University of Arizona. He is the immediate past president of the National Group, the Society of Professional Journalists. And Dan Scheer is here, editor of the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. You can join in the conversation on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. And of course, we invite you to become a friend of the Buckmaster Show. You can find us on Facebook very simply. If you know my name, you can find us, Bill Buckmaster. Let's go now and welcome Dr. Margaret Kensky. Dr. Kensky, how are you?
Doing fine, Bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much for being with us. David, good to have you with us as well.
Thank you. Good to be here.
I hope I didn't screw up your last name too bad. Coulier.
Everyone does. Even I screw it up.
The French pronunciation there. And Dan, good to see you.
Thank you, Bill.
Margaret, what was the big surprise out of this election as far as you saw here in Arizona?
You know, I don't think there was too much of a surprise. I think most people really expected that it would turn out the way it did. I think that the CD2, maybe obviously the most interesting, since we have to recount. But given just the overall mood of the nation, just having dissatisfaction and wanting to change, with the animus toward the president among some circles, I don't think it was a surprise. I really don't.
You have polled, you didn't this time, CD2. No. You were not involved with that. But in many years and election cycles past, that's kind of been your district. You've watched it very closely going all back
Mo
to
Mo Udall.
Yeah, going that far back to Mo Udall. I mean, and of course with Congressman Colby. If you had been polling, do you think you would have seen pretty much what you had seen over the many years about really how divided that district is?
That district has swung. It was a Democratic plurality district. And, of course, the boundaries have changed. So the problem is I have to keep in my mind that, you know, when we were polling for Mo, it went all the way over and took a good part of what Raul Grijalva now has as his district. But it was certainly, once it more or less took the form that it has now, it slowly changed into a slight Republican plurality district. But having said that, we have to keep in mind the large number and the increase in the number of independents in the district as well. So it's a swing district.
Here's Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News.
You know, historically, we're told that Democrats don't show up for midterm elections. Do the numbers support this, and why would this be the case, do you think?
Well, you know, first of all, we do. What you said, people say, it's more of a socioeconomic issue with higher income, better educated people tending to vote more consistently than others for a variety of reasons. Maybe the level of interest in information is a little bit higher. And so there is something of a drop-off. Younger people are less likely to participate in the off-year elections. You know, you look overall in the nation, for example, let's say among Hispanic voters, there was a big jump in 2012 in the percentage of the vote that had Latina roots. I think it was up to something 17-18%. And then this time it went back down to like what we'd call a normal 9-10%. Because there was a tremendous pulling power there for President Obama. So, you know, it isn't that they're not voting, it's just a question of they don't vote by quite as high a percentage as the more consistent, older, better educated voters do, who tend to be a bit more Republican.
All right, here's David Coulier.
Right, Dr. Kinski, I was wondering, you mentioned the kind of an increased proportion of independent voters, and and perhaps we're seeing that all around the state or country. And, and what does that mean for these elections? What sways independent voters, and were there any issues that popped up in this particular campaign that you think made a difference with these folks?
Well, it's interesting because there are I think that the increase is very clear. Well, first of all, we have multiple sources of information. Parties as institutions aren't as important in opinion formation as they were before we had so many multiple sources of information through the Internet and such. They're a hard group to get your hands on and make a definitive statement about, because of the independents are the people who don't like either party particularly, and but for different reasons. Some of them are economic conservatives and social liberals, and others are, you know, economic liberals and social conservatives, and on and so forth. So a very diverse group. But clearly this time for the independents, the state of the economy seemed to be the most critical factor. Dissatisfied. And, you know, in Obama's first term, the thing was, you know, the mantra was, it's all Bush's fault. But here we were six years in, labor participation rate is the lowest it's been since, I think, what, 76 or something. And so I think for the group of independents, that seemed to be the key issue on their mind.
Again, here's Dan Scheer.
But are independent voters truly independent-minded, or has there just been an issue or two with their previous party, assuming that they had belonged to one of them, that has turned them off? And generally speaking, an independent who used to be a Republican probably is going to vote for the Republican.
Or not vote.
Or not vote. Good point.
That's the thing. And you know, former Democrats are probably more inclined to vote for the Democrats. That's right. That's a block of them. But let's say that's maybe a third, or maybe a little higher than that, maybe 40% of them. The others just have not found satisfaction with either political party, not just on one or two issues, but they don't trust government. Some of them just don't trust government in general. You know, they think, oh, they're all crooks or whatever. You know, one of these sweeping kinds
right.
of things. Or they're not doing anything for me. That's understandable. And some of them just would like to take pieces of both political parties and put it together. But we all know how successful third-party efforts have been in the past.
Right.
You know.
Well, so, you know, as you talk about young voters, black voters, Hispanic voters, is it incorrect to assume that they vote as a block? Because we tend to speak of them in terms of they're all of one mind, and that's really not the case.
Well, it really isn't, and probably less true. You know, African-American voters, over 90% are going to vote Democratic.
Margaret Kent.
That's just a fact. Hispanics, around 60%.
Margaret Kensky with us on the Buckmaster Show, Live Line. Let's go back to the Live Line. Dan has called us at 790-2040, would like to talk a little bit about the influence of newspapers on the election. Go ahead, Dan.
Yes, thank you. This is an interesting show. I was hoping you'd ask, since most of our major media, including TV, newspapers, also, our universities and schools and Hollywood have all gone so far extreme left. What does that have to do with our elections, if any?
Okay, Margaret Kensky.
Well, that's a nice big question and a very important one.
Yeah.
I think that people tend to form opinions, first and foremost, based on their own experience. And so if you're in a family where, you know, the breadwinner's lost a job, it doesn't matter what somebody tells you about what a terrific job they're doing, you're not going to necessarily believe that. Other things that can happen in your family. If you're, you know, a victim of a crime, you're not too inclined to want to loosen up the laws to help out, you know, people accused of crime, etc. I mean, experience is foremost. But I think that one of the things that has happened, yes, it's true that there, it depends on which parts of universities we're talking about. Scientists have a little different political views generally than people in the social scientists, the hard scientists do. You know, I think that a lot of it depends on what you do for your work once you've graduated.
Mm-hmm.
And it, the kind of job you have tends to, if you go into the military, no matter what your professor has said back in Political Theory 101, you will have a different view than, you know, someone who goes in to become a university teacher themselves.
That's true. And I want to bring David into this conversation because he is at the university and School of Journalism. And the caller is making, first of all, an assumption that all journalists are swinging to the left.
You know, that's a really good question, and that's a popular perception, I think, in this country. But the reality is, when you look at the research of journalists, surveys of other research, you find that, reporters in general will tend to sway a little left. However, editors tend to sway right. And who makes the ultimate call? It's the editors. And ultimately, I think in my working as a journalist, in researching journalists, in We're in seeing and meeting journalists around the country, it just doesn't work that way. You know, I think we are guided, and we do have our own feelings that we grow up with, and that's hard to deny. But I think journalists, for the most part, do a pretty good job in trying to look at all points of view, and not always successful. But to say that they're all liberal, I think is kind of a stretch. And same with academics, like Dr. Kinski said. There's a huge spectrum. But I understand there's a sentiment out there on that. And Dan, are you a communist?
I would agree with
you. Are.
I would agree with you. I think the problem comes when people don't distinguish the news pages from the editorial pages, opinion pages, where, you know, let's take the Arizona Daily Star, which is very liberal on its editorial pages. But I'm sure that they bend over backward, just like the rest of us do, to make sure that they are balanced and objective on the news pages.
All right, Ed, this would be a good time for us to take a break. Dr. Kinski, hang on the line. We're going to listen now to the people who support the work we do here. We will be back in a couple of minutes. Friday Focus interview with Dr. Margaret Kinski right after this.
All right, punch it, boys. We got some gold in them thar hills. You know, I think this is the road that leads to the...
The road to what, disaster? I thought you had this car checked out.
Well, I took it to one of those quirky loop places.
Shh, we're being followed.
We are federales, amigos. Why are you broke down here, eh?
Well, we should have taken our truck to Perfection Auto Works for the free 26-point inspection. By the way, I need to see your badges.
We don't need no badges. I don't have to show you any stinking badges.
Don't get stuck without your car or truck getting our free safety check before you hit the road on your next adventure. Call 323-8650. That's 323-8650 or perfectionautoworks.com.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2 hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson, it's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS, that's 571-7847.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerville Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. People ask me all the time, do you know a good auto mechanic? Yes, I do. Mike Emery and the team at Perfection Auto Works. Check it out. Convenient Midtown location. You could eat off the floors. I've been over there. It's so clean. They'll take care of all of your automotive needs. PerfectionAutoWorks.com. It is the Friday Focus interview on the Buckmaster Show. Dan Scheer is here from the Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, and David Coulier. David is director of the School of Journalism at the U of A and immediate past president of the National Association, the Society of Professional Journalists. We've been talking about journalism and the election, and we have Dr. Margaret Kensky with us on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. But I do want to go back to some of the folks who have been waiting, Dr. Kensky, to talk with you. Jerry is up first on the Live Line. Go ahead, Jerry.
Oh, hello. Mr. Buckmaster, Mr. Chair, Dr. Kensky, and Mr. Cole.
Yes.
So many of you.
Yes, there's a lot of us. Go ahead with your question, please.
My question is, I'd like to know what the undervote was for CD2. I know it has to be recounted, but I have a feeling I was kind of curious about the undervote.
Okay, and that is something I really don't know.
Dan, do you have any idea?
No, I sure don't.
No.
Good question, though.
Okay. Very good question.
And Margaret, Dr. Kensky, this is the first time we have seen an official recount, mm-hmm. I guess, in a congressional race in Arizona. Is that your understanding?
That's my understanding, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had some local,
right.
recounts, but not the congressional.
And it would be your understanding this could go on a while, I guess. It's going to start in early December.
Early December,
yeah.
Because once the Secretary of State certifies, then he has to go to the judge. And a judge and ask for a recount because it is too close under Arizona law to stand. So,
can they count those other votes they mentioned? I was at the Board of Supervisors meeting on Tuesday, and the attorney mentioned something about 780 votes, but they only had 130 of them. Can they recount the 780?
I think that they would have to present a case before the judge in terms of what to include. Normally, once it's certified, that's that.
Yeah.
And there were good reasons for excluding a lot of those. The address wasn't correct, that kind of thing. And, so I think it's unlikely. I think that, I think, in my past experience with vote counting in elections that were somewhat close, but not like this, was I think they go out of their way to include ballots across the board. They track people down, they check addresses, they call them, trying mm-hmm. to find the person. So it seems to me somewhat unlikely that, and actually that seems like a fairly small number out of all the ballots that were turned in.
Okay, Jerry, thank you for joining us. Let's go to Rick. I believe it's Rick Grinnell. Rick, how are you?
I'm good. Good to hear from you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Margaret.
Good afternoon.
Good to hear from you.
Yes, thank you.
So a couple of things that I think are important to understand in polling, too, from my experience, is number one, when they begin the polling, they're also polling the issues. And I think at the other part of this whole process, I think it's important to understand the importance of the top of the ticket. In this particular case, you had Doug Ducey with Fred Duvall. Polling indicated that the economy was more significant than education.
Mm-hmm.
And you go all the way back to when Governor Napolitano first became governor, she pulled the party with her, and that's why the Democrats had such a successful run in 2002 and allowed her to, or was it, 2002, and allowed her to pull the rest of the party. And in this case, I think the polling indicated early on that the economy and mm-hmm. Mr. Ducey's message mm-hmm. pulled the rest of the party ticket with it.
Okay.
Including CD2, and my guess on the undervote, I'm having a feeling it's probably going to be around 6-7%, which is usually high in a higher educated and a more mm-hmm. involved environment. So,
okay.
I'd expect 2-3% normally 2-3% undervote for any office like that. That's high profile.
And Margaret, any thoughts on what Rick was saying?
Yeah, most of the time, economy, I hate to sound like Karl Marx, but, the economy's fundamental. And when it's not in great shape, that's going to be the lead. But it does, in times of great prosperity, then you see other issues coming up and getting to that level of concern. It has been in the past in some of the state elections I've worked on. Education has been right up there with the economy. Those are times of prosperity.
All right, just about out of time. David, a quick question perhaps for Dr. Kensky.
Well, I'm just curious, Dr. Kensky, what you think about the, as far as immigration as an issue, has that been a major factor in this race, this campaign, and what's happening this week?
You know, that I've pulled on that so much here in the state. I would say that it does have something to do with it. I think there has been a great concern about border security. The one thing people in the state agree on is the border ought to be secured. And there is a feeling that, you know, that hasn't happened. But that's a long-standing concern. I will say along with that, also a large plurality also agree, in addition to that, that we can't send everybody back home.
Dan?
And so, there are things to agree about with what the president is doing, but can I just say, if we have time for 1 minute, this is the first time in a long time when a process concern, that is, you know, the use or possible abuse, depending on your viewpoint, of executive power, a process concern like that seemed to be very important to a lot of voters. Usually process concerns don't worry people too much. It's policy and outcome they're concerned about. This time, this was something of a concern because of what he said he was going to do.
All right. I'm going to keep this one more minute to give Dan a final quick question.
Okay. Vote recounts generally don't change anything. Is that accurate?
That's right.
Okay, so it's going to end up in, if it ends up in the courts, that's where the battle will be fought. But if it doesn't, Martha McSally's the winner.
That's right. I mean, Florida got so much attention, and I think everyone thought there were enormous changes. And there were some, but not anything that changed, you know, what finally happened there.
One final quick question for me. Why did the Fred Duvall campaign just never resonate or get going? What happened there?
You know, when I look at that vote, I was not terribly impressed with either campaign, so I guess I'm in trouble now, right? I like Fred.
Yeah.
Think Ducey's okay. I mean, you know, I didn't think either, and I think that if you look at that vote, I think a lot of that straight party line voting.
Really?
I just didn't think there were. Maybe it's because I live in Pima County. I didn't think either person had an enormous presence down here, and the focus was on Maricopa, where Fred Duvall was clearly at a disadvantage.
All right. Dr. Margaret Kensky, a pleasure talking with you. Thank you very much. Good to touch base with you again.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Dr. Kensky, with us on The Buckmaster Show. We'll be back with our Friday roundtable. David and Dan will stick around. We'll talk about some of the top stories of the week right after this.
Are you planning a party or special event? Contact Arizona Party Rental, the number one party rental company in Southern Arizona. Here's what our customers are saying about us.
I'm Bruce Beach, one of the founders of the Tucson Festival of Books. The festival attracts over 100,000 people, 450 authors, and 250 exhibitors over a three-day period. We work with over 30 different vendors, and it's a pleasure working with Ken and the Arizona Party Rental team. They're one of the most professional group of people I've ever worked with. It's amazing how they can set up the entire U of A mall with tents, tables, and chairs everywhere in such a short period of time. It's impressive how Arizona Party Rental always comes through with a smile.
Thanks, Bruce. Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. Take a page from the Tucson Festival of Books. With our vast selection of tents, tables, chairs, linens, and over 50,000 items in stock, we have event solutions for any occasion. Visit our showroom on Speedway just west of Alvernon or online at arizonapartyrental.net. Quality products, exceptional selection, and outstanding service. That's Arizona Party Rental.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a 4-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Want the best care for your companion animal?
then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Get Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 per month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get your first month free. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 1/4/15. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Back to the Buckmaster Show, the Friday edition, the Rug Gallery of Tucson. They want me to pass this along, and I'll do it gladly. They have extended their anniversary sale. They have fantastic savings going on till the end of the month for the anniversary sale, and they're up at Campbell and River. If you're looking for some beautiful textiles, check it out up at the Rug Gallery. It's the Friday Roundtable. Dan Scheer is with me. Dan is the editor of the Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, and David Coulier making his debut on the Friday Roundtable. It's good to have David with us. We've interviewed David as kind of a news interview when he was the president of the Society of Professional Journalists. He is now the immediate past president. I guess there was a handoff last month for a new president, David?
A couple months ago, yeah. Fortunately, gratefully, yes.
How many miles did you travel around the country during that 12-month period? It's unbelievable.
No, I'm not. I didn't keep track. I probably should have. I probably missed out on some frequent flyer mileage.
There you go. David is also the director of the School of Journalism at the University of Arizona. Gentlemen, it seems like the big story that is going to be developing, well, of course, the big story nationally is the immigration story and what President Obama did last night. David, I wonder about some of the unintended consequences of this. By the time it gets down to parts of Mexico, to folks who are thinking of a journey north, they have heard probably from the coyotes or whoever, oh gosh, there's now amnesty in the United States, so head north. Something similar kind of happened with the Dreamers and young people.
Right, absolutely. Boy, you know, it didn't take much for that rumor to start down there and for us to have a flood of children coming up into the States. And so I suppose something like that could happen again. And we're going to have to get the word out and make sure everybody's clear. And a big role of that is the media. I hope a journalist down south of our border will make sure everybody understands what's going on here. And hopefully a journalist up here will help us understand what's going on as well.
Are we understanding it, Dan? It seems very confusing.
Oh, there's so many different sides to this one. And you know, it's interesting because the people who come across the border are really many of them are the least educated and the least likely to be paying attention to media. So really, the message has to be sent really on the ground. And I know that in the past, buses heading north to the border so these people can jump off and hop the wall would actually have public service announcements saying, hey, this is what you think, but here's what reality is. So I'm assuming a lot of that will be going on. But yep, I bet we'll have an influx as a result of the decision last night.
You know, Dr. Kensky, when we talked a little bit about, David brought this up about immigration, and she said in the past that's been a pretty big deal when she's done her polling in CD2 and before it was... it wasn't always CD2. I know it slips my mind what it was. CD, what, 7 was it? I know, 9? I don't know.
We were 8.
We were eight. Okay. Yeah. But immigration has been in the past a big issue, and I wonder how much that played in the McSally-Barber.
That's a great question, because when I would talk to our editors who are in border newspapers like Douglas or Nogales or even Sierra Vista, a lot of them would say that a lot of these ranchers along the border were pretty upset with Ron Barber, almost to the point where he wasn't even going down there anymore, although I don't know that that's completely true, but they just didn't like, you know, his approach to it. They want the border sealed. Well, if you've been on that border, it is impossible to seal it. So what does a sealed border look like? And I think Ron Barber was always very honest in saying, you know, maybe we can get to 90% in certain areas, maybe a little bit, you know, maybe 100% right in the cities or the real, you know, heavy areas. But I think I always thought he was very honest on that issue. But it's huge. But I think the problem last night with the president was not so much what he did, but how he did it. And mm-hmm. Margaret Kensky actually hit on that about, you know, the process now has people kind of wondering, okay, wait, what's going on here? By executive order, he can do something like this? I think it surprised a lot of people.
Yeah, and I think the timing of this, David Coulier, brings up a lot of issues, too, because we just had the election, and the Republicans are saying, well, this was done kind of as a counter because the Republicans had such a great year, and just kind of take some of that limelight away from them.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think he's looking ahead is what he's doing, because come January, when the Republicans rule the House and Senate, the ball's in their court now, and he's put it there firmly. And it's kind of politically interesting and probably maybe even smart, because the House hasn't been able to do much for a year and a half on this issue, and now he's forcing their hand. And either they have to do their own bill, or if they choose the route of just yammering on the process, then they could look bad, especially if they don't get anything done. So he's putting them in a position to where they kind of either have to act or face some hard times the next election round.
And the president was absolutely correct in one area, and that is the immigration system is broken.
Yes.
It really is. And a year and a half ago, with our so-called Gang of Eight, which included both of Arizona's senators, we had 4 Democrats, 4 Republicans. They got together. They came up with a plan. It never went anywhere in the House. But that's the closest we've come to something that really has been, you know, fairly hefty. And it just fell apart, and that was unfortunate. So, yeah, it's definitely politics at play here, but it'll be interesting to see what the Republicans do with this come January.
It is broken. The visa system, a huge percentage of illegals in this country are people who came in with a visa, everything was in order, and they just stayed. And the whole visa system needs to be overhauled. So I think Dan's right. The immigration from top to bottom needs to be fixed.
And the big question is whether that'll ever happen, because I'm not sure these folks in Washington can talk to each other very well. And these are complex issues. I mean, we're dealing with the cartels on the south side. We're dealing with demand on the north side for drugs, for cheap labor. I mean, how do you tackle all these problems and issues, and they are all intertwined. But they have to start doing something.
And I think if you're going to step in and do something on immigration, the president decided that the best thing to do would be to keep families together. And that's largely what that decision was about yesterday also. It's keeping families together here while we try to sort through this thing. So it really is ultimately a stopgap. You can't bypass Congress and expect that this is going to really last for very long. But he took some action. And again, yeah, he kind of threw down the gauntlet there.
We are facing serious problems in this state, financial problems, as the governor-elect, Doug Ducey, will be taking over in a few weeks. Mr. Ducey this week acknowledged that the current spending is less. The projected revenues for the next fiscal year will be less than the $8.8 billion, and the spending has been really at about $9.3 billion. So it's a problem, David Coulier, that's going to get worse, because the $330 million that lawmakers must decide on for schools, that's not even in that projected deficit.
Right. I could tell you a lot of people at the University of Arizona campus are talking about this and worried about it, because, you know, this may be the time when we get cut some more, and we're already down to very little public support at this point. I think lawmakers are going to have to make some really difficult decisions. Someone's ox is probably going to get gored here.
Yeah, without a doubt. And of course, the bigger question one of the questions looming here is the paying back that education money. You know, like you say, $330 million ultimately could be over $1.5 billion. I personally think that they should have to pay back every single penny of it. I don't care how bad it hurts, because it was stolen from the schools. This was voter mandated that they would get this money. It started back in 2000, and the state just stopped doing it a few years ago. And what do you mean you're going to wheel and deal and come to some sort of settlement and the $80 million out there? What a pittance, and that's just sad to even talk about. And I know that Doug Ducey is willing to talk settlement, but I think this is really obviously going to impact the budget. They don't have to pay it all at once, but I think they should have to pay it. It's education dollars, and we haven't done a good job on that so far.
I think the U of A lost one of its big stars this week, and I'm not talking sports stars here. David Len Jessup, he's been the dean over at Eller School of Business since 2011, has decided to take the new presidentship up at UNLV. So he got a good deal up at UNLV, so he's leaving Eller, but he really has done a lot to elevate Eller and put it into one of the top business schools in the country.
Oh, absolutely. He's admired, he's well-respected, and it's a loss for the university, I think. We have some great deans, and they're going to be picked off to be provosts and presidents around the country. And I think, unfortunately, that's kind of what we're going to see in the future.
But he's a guy, Dan, that was really great to try to get the economic situation better
right
here in southern Arizona.
Sure, absolutely. And that's a good example of how the universities really affect not just those on campus, but all of us down here. So he's really good. I have a question for David on this whole thing, though. So is U of A a training ground, or is it the big leagues as far as leadership goes?
Well, that's a really good question. You know, I think there have been studies looking into this on campus to look at kind of where are people going and why do they leave. And to be frank, I you'd have to talk to President Hart and these to get the final answer, but my understanding is that there are a lot of folks who move on and they consider up to universities that pay more. Mm-hmm. In Arizona, you know, I think the pay is not the highest for top positions all the time. So other places are going to be attractive, and we're going to lose really good people. And that's something that we as Arizonans really have to look at, because if we want the best, if we want excellent people who are training our future scientists, our future business leaders, we kind of have to pay for that.
But he'd only been here 3 years. I mean, yeah. There's not very much time. So maybe he's going to move on anyway. Who knows?
I have a question for David about where the future is in your profession of journalism. You have young people wanting to get into the business. Where is the growth happening?
Well, students are still getting jobs in newspapers, community papers in general. I mean, they are thriving. Community papers are doing very well. People still want to know what's happening in their towns. Mm-hmm. And I think they always will. So I don't think that's going to change. They're also finding jobs actually at large metro papers. I mean, I can't believe we're having students start the LA Times. That never happened when I was coming out of college. Usually you had to pay your dues for 5 to 10, 15 years.
But you bring up something very interesting about that entry-level positions into big papers. Maybe from all the cutting that's gone on with the big salaries for the top people, now you've got entry-level. I mean, somebody's got to work at a if there are desks to be manned or woman at the at a particular desk, they're finding young people to do that job.
Well, and that is a problem industry-wide because we in communities, we want experienced journalists leading our news direction. We want journalists who have been in the trenches, understand their communities. If we have newsrooms that are full of 22-year-olds, that don't understand the communities they cover, then that hurts the citizens of those communities. So that is a problem in our industry, in this country. Hopefully that as new models emerge and develop over the next 10 years, we'll be able to have experienced editors back in the back serving people well. Right now, I'd say overall the quality of journalism and news in this country is not as strong as it used to be.
Absolutely. The reporting is not as sophisticated and the institutional knowledge is not there.
Right. All right. We're going to have to wrap it up. That is our Friday roundtable. And we thank David Coulier, the director of the School of Journalism at the U of A, for being with us, and Dan Scheer from the Green Valley News. Dan and Dave, I hope you both have a great weekend nice Thanksgiving for both of you as well.
Thank you. Thank you, too.
Thanks a lot. We'll be right back with Weekend Watch with Matt Russell on the Friday edition of Buckmaster.
Your kids are grown. The days of ballet recitals and soccer games are over. You're looking forward to the next season of life. It's your time. This is David Clark at Plutus Motor Group, and we have what you're looking for. Late model, low-mileage vehicles from Mercedes, Audi, Porsche, BMW, and exotics like Maserati and other fine imports. Visit our indoor showroom and enjoy the Plutus experience at Dodge and Aho, adjacent to Copenhagen, or online at PlutusMotorGroup.com. Plutus Motor Group. It's your time. 529-1000.
Immerse yourself in these fascinating wonders of science with the new UA SciPass. Explore Flandreau Science Center, Stewart Observatory Mirror Lab, and Biosphere 2 at a 39% total savings by purchasing your UA SciPass for only $30. This VIP pass is brought to you in partnership with the UA Bookstore and can be purchased by visiting b2science.org. Visit all these amazing science projects today with the new UA Science Pass. Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
If you want the great taste of bottled water without the hassle of going to the store, call Culligan and ask us about the Culligan bottled water delivery service either to your home or to your place of business. Culligan bottled water is as pure as it gets. The basis of the treatment of the bottled water is steam distillation. Its processing and its cleanliness is a healthy alternative to other beverages. Culligan water is fresh and delicious. One sip will tell it all. And since Culligan water is delivered right to your door, residential or business, you won't have to lug heavy bottles. Whether you have city or well water, Culligan can make your water taste better with an easy solution that fits any budget. Right now, for a limited time, you get 30-day full money-back guarantee, trial to include. Water dispenser free for 1 month. Initial 15 gallons of water free.
Thereafter, $6 per month on the dispenser and $6.95 per 5-gallon bottle with an annual service agreement. Call Culligan at 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson to a fantastic time hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, doing some antiquing in downtown Silver City. Lots to do and great places to stay, like Bear Creek Cabins. You can find out about the places to stay and things to do by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now the host of Weekend Watch. He is the Inside Tucson Business Food and Beverage columnist, Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
Bill, I'm great. You know, looks like another delicious weekend is in sight, my friend.
Delicious, and let's start with dessert.
Yeah, I suggest getting a sweet start to the weekend at the annual Sweet Charity Dessert Challenge tonight at 6 o'clock at Lowe's Ventana Canyon Resort. Now, more than 50 artisan desserts are going to be taking center stage at the event, all produced by top chefs across town. And for only $35, guests are going to have the opportunity to sample them all and vote for their favorite. A selection of cocktails, beers, and wines are also going to be available, along with a silent auction to raise money for arts education programs. Check out the Sweet Charity Dessert Challenge tonight at Lowe's Ventana Canyon. 50 desserts, Bill. My goodness.
Starting with dessert, but I don't think you'll want much more after all of that. You got out the Hawaiian shirt in honor of Mama's Hawaiian Barbecue.
I did. If this colder weather has you dreaming about the islands or the beach, save the airfare to Hawaii and head over to the newest location of Mama's Hawaiian Barbecue over there on Tanca Verde in Pima. Now, Mama's features a large selection of traditional Hawaiian plate lunches and dinners with island flair, like teriyaki beef and chicken and slow-roasted kalua pork, grilled mahi-mahi, and my favorite, the big kahuna. This fast casual eatery has something for every taste, so I say take your palate to paradise this weekend and check out Mama's Hawaiian Barbecue, and don't forget to say aloha.
And then you're looking for a nice breakfast place. Everybody usually wants to breakfast out on the weekend.
Yeah, fun and innovative breakfast at a place called the Coronet, 402 East 9th Street. Now, with items like porridge with two types of oats and three types of seeds, a steelhead trout Gravlax tartine, and a cool dish called shakshuka, which is baked eggs with chickpeas and feta cheese and a spicy Middle Eastern sauce. This menu serves up some fun things that I just haven't seen anywhere else. Breakfast at the Coronet is served beginning at 8 a.m. Tuesday through Sunday, so give them a try this weekend for a fun and creative morning meal.
All right, and in the column Inside Tucson Business this week.
Yeah, speaking of breakfast, there's one local restaurateur who is out to change the way people think about the classic power breakfast. And what does she have to say about it? You got to check it out in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
Have a great weekend, Matt Russell.
Cheers, Bill.
All right, Matt Russell with our weekend watch. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, provided by Culligan Better Water, Pure and Simple. Thanks, Culligan, for all of your support. The Buckmaster Show is produced by Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. Wholly responsible for its content on behalf of our team, our friends here at KVOI, Ed Alexander, Tom Fairbanks, Ray Allen, and of course my executive assistant, Rosemary Brandt. I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend and reminding you we've got a lot of great talk over the weekend right here on KVOI. Till then, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.